God is so good. I'm excited about this year and what God's going to do in us and through us. And I'm excited about this upcoming fast that we are about to do. We did change the dates on it a little bit, so make sure you look at that and not go by the old dates. We're going to do it the 15th to the 24th. And the plan is to do as we did last time, and I will email out the information this week. So if you don't get it, let me know. That means I don't have your email address. Or if you changed yours, or if you got a new one or something like that, or you haven't been getting my emails, just go ahead and fill out that card that's in the seat back in front of you with it on there, and we'll get that out to you this week and make sure that we get information. My statement on here is that you may not enjoy fasting, but you'll never regret that you did. Amen? And I think that's really true. So as we enter into this, I want to just encourage you. We have Charlie Sweet coming in February. We have a lot of stuff happening in this as we begin this year. And so I want to encourage us in it. And then of course, our vision meeting. Our vision meeting is going to be on February the 18th, and it will be during the Sunday morning service. So I want to encourage you to be here for that. It's going to be an exciting time where we really communicate some things that are happening. All right, I want to start a fresh series for this year, and that series is called From Master Plan to Masterpiece. From Master Plan to Masterpiece. And as I have been pondering through where to kick off the year, I really felt strongly that there's a few things that we need to maybe it'll be new for some, it'll be just refresher course for others, to where we really take a look at our lives in light of how we're living it on an everyday basis, and how we're really stewarding our lives. You know, he talks about stewarding our money, but he also talks about stewarding our lives and how are we doing with that. And so I want to start off this series with the idea of first looking at the master plan, because I think it's easy, and I've seen it in my lifetime, where people don't have the larger picture of what God is doing, and so when they go into what they're supposed to doing, it easily turns into me, my, I. What is my gifting? What's my calling? What am I doing? And as soon as we begin to do that, we begin to miss even everything we sang about this morning, and that is, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? We're here to glorify and to magnify Jesus Christ. And he does that when he works through our lives, not when we take control of our lives and run things ourselves. And I think we all know that that's a challenge for all of us. We all have to guard against that. We all have to guard against it. You know, he gives us gifts. He gives us talents. He gives us abilities. Yes, he does. It's a gift. And we use those. But we have to be careful that it doesn't become inward focus. So I want to start this morning by looking at the larger master plan of God so that you realize that God is at work on the entire planet, and we are privileged, little old us, little old me, I'm privileged to be a part of what he's doing. And it isn't about me, but it's about him. And so as we go through this series, I think we'll talk about a lot of practical things, about the gifts of the Spirit. We'll be looking at First Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about the body of Christ and every member being important and every member having something to do and how he created them. But I, again, want to say we need to start with the reality that we have a privilege of entering into his master plan. And in the process, we will go from master plan to masterpiece. And this is what he calls us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him." So everything revolves around him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece, And he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good works that he had planned long ago. So I just took you with two verses from his master plan. He's planned it all to his masterpiece, which is you. He did create you to be a masterpiece and to glorify him and to exalt him and magnify him and point people to him through your life. And he works in us and through us, and he's well able to do that. But I must first tap into the reality that this thing is not about me. Because the moment that I start thinking it's about me, then everything has to be about me. It's me, my, and I. And I want to show you in just a minute where the main worship leader in heaven ran into this problem and literally got booted out because of trying to take the credit toward himself and making everything about him. Now, I don't think any of you would intentionally do that. But if we're not careful, it can happen. Because here's the thing. You were created with so much purpose and so much potential that this draw just comes out of us. You're not a robot. You're not an animal that lives by instinct. You were actually created in the exact image and likeness of your God, and he's a creative God. He's actually a creator also, if you think about it. He's a creative God, and he's creative. He's a creator. And so that's what you're made of. So why do you get excited about doing things in life? Why do you have certain passions? Well, he put part of himself in each one of you. And each one of us in this room have different gifts, talents, personalities. Each one of us like to do certain things more than other things. Why? Because God put that in you. And in his desire and passion is to see that raised up. You see, when God created the planets, when God created the plants, when he created the animals, when he created the sun, the moon, and the star, he said something unique when it got to you. And let me read it to you in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that are moving along the ground." He made you in his image, and he made you in his likeness. And again, there's nothing else. He didn't say that to the angels. He only said it to you. And so, yeah, there's something inside of you that should be stirring, unless something has happened that has caused that not to stir. For whatever reason, if something has press that down has caused you not to realize, wow, you've been amazingly made. And I just think, you know, that when you think about it, the Bible talks about that different people will be ruling in heaven. So we're not going to go sit on a pillow-looking cloud playing a harp, but we're literally going to be ruling and reigning for eternity. God has a lot in mind. Remember, we talked about the telescope. We were able to see this vastness of God's plan and purpose. It's so far beyond. We need to start thinking that now, not in eternity. That was worth a big amen. We really need to think that way. We really need to begin to think, if Jesus Christ really did it all at the cross, how many would say he did? Then what are we waiting for? Or might I say, what is he waiting for? What are we waiting for? What is he waiting for? And I know sometimes when we go through challenges and struggles and so forth that we have a hard time. You know, how am I going to see that? You know, this hasn't happened for me yet. But I tell you what, you have to keep the faith. You have to continue to stir yourself up. You have to begin to understand. And I'm going to point out a little bit here this morning about how great and amazing God is. Proverbs says this here, and again, keeping in mind, we are created in God's image and likeness. Many, in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So many are his plans in your heart. You have lots of plans inside of you. Again, that's why you're motivated to do what you do. That's why you get up and you do what you do each day, is because you have a motivation of plans that you have. There's nothing wrong with having all those plans, but the key in this verse is that the Lord's purpose is going to prevail over it all. See, God has a sovereign plan for mankind, and he's in the process of seeing it fulfilled. And again, we have a privilege of being able to be a part of that on a daily basis and seeing God's plan and purpose. Our challenge is that the enemy of our life wants us to get our eyes off of God's original plan and intent for our life and off of his plan and onto us. And so the enemy goes around like a snake trying to get you to look at yourself and get your eyes off of God's amazing plan. The devil was kicked out of heaven because of his pride. I want to pull up Isaiah chapter 14 and verses 12 through 15. Some of you have read this before. Some of you have never known this. Lucifer is Satan's name, one of his names, one of his titles. And he was created originally as the worship leader in heaven. And listen what it says. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, and here we go. Here's what was in his heart through this process. I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest side of the north. Again, I will ascend the heights of the clouds. Again, I will be like the Most High God. See that repeated theme there. Something got inside of his heart, and all of a sudden it became about him. Now, I don't know that any of us would stand up here today and just say, you know, say some of these things. But I do know that it's easy for that attitude to creep up in our heart because we live in a fallen world and we live in a very self-centered world, don't we? You know, look at the commercials that you watch over and over and over. What is it? What are they trying to do? They're trying to get you to buy something that's going to make who happy? Going to make you happy, right? And so we see this over and over. It's pounding us. Come and buy this, and it's going to make you feel better. Drive this car. And, you know, I was watching the Toyota commercial the other day where they're racing down the mountainous road, and they're behind a motor home, and it's the husband and the wife and the little boy in the back seat, and the mother looks around and just, you know, just really starting to move your heart. And all of a sudden the deer walks out into the road, and the motor home slams on its brakes, but the father, the driver, wasn't paying attention to it, but because it had those safety brakes, oh, it saved the day. And you saw this view. Oh, like, wow, this is amazing. And as I sat there, I thought, wow, it's just trying to draw me in to buy that car. I know it. I mean, it's a good thing that safety brake was there. But you see, that's what we're involved in all the time. We're just surrounded with the types of things that just want to point back to me, point back to my happiness, to point back to what I want. And we all know that that's not the reality of life. We're all old enough in this room to know that's not the reality of life. But the reality of life is that there are challenges, there are struggles. And if I make it all about me, those challenges and those struggles only increase. Because I'm looking for them. I'm positioning myself to be disappointed with them. And so when we see Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, 19, it says, pride brings a person low. Lucifer was cast out of heaven, a heavenly position, a heavenly place, simply because he allowed the big eye to get in the way. So pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit will gain honor. I like Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death and destruction. It leads to disappointment and letdown. The devil will tell you that there is great pleasure in the things of this world, and you will buy into that, and you will pursue those things, and many people do pursue those things, even by their career. There's nothing wrong with having a career, but if you're building that career to basically be your pleasure and joy and happiness, how many stories have we heard where people get to that point in their life where they've finally made a success, and all of a sudden one of them passes, or all of a sudden something terrible happens? It's like that. And so we can't put our trust in those things, but yet if we're not careful, we will. Why? Because we begin to let everything become surrounded about me. Discovering God's masterpiece and living your life for it is the only way to really live. To really latch into the fact that your God, your creator, who made you in his image and likeness, he's put everything together. He's on a plan of redemption. He's got it mapped out. It says he even wrote it out before you were born. He's got it all mapped out. He gives us the privilege to step into that and begin to be a part of what he's doing. And I just want to say this. What he's doing is going to last forever. It won't be like the Chiefs game. I was pretty excited for about the first half, weren't you? And that's what probably made it the letdown. Is I was just getting so excited in this thing. I was like, man, we are going to do it finally. Even though we've never won a playoff in 35 years at a home game. But I had hope. It was coming to me. I was being built up. And then all of a sudden, you just saw it drop. I think, wow, something's going off. And boom, they lost. And I was greatly disappointed. Well, God's plan is not going to be that way. That's a worldly plan, a worldly concern. And I have to be careful that I really begin to believe that. Otherwise, I will begin to treat his plan and purpose as everyday plans around life. And I'll think, well, maybe it's going to work out, and maybe it's not. Can I encourage you that it absolutely will work out? He said it's going to be greater than you could ever imagine or think about. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. We're going to live forever in eternity with him, and we're going to experience everything that he's experiencing right now. We're not going to have sin to wrestle with and fight with. We're not going to have sickness to deal with. None of that. It's going to be an amazing thing. I want to give you three things that most people spend a lot of their life trying to find out. Matter of fact, I think we may spend too much time. I understand why we would spend time on these things in these three areas, but I wonder sometimes if we might just be missing it a little bit because we're not really looking more toward his master plan than me. Let me give you these three things that most people actually struggle with these issues in life. The first one is identity. Identity. Who am I anyway? Who am I? I've wondered sometimes who my daddy is. Which one of the six is really him, you know? I know it's crazy, but it's just there. The thought's there. It's like, wow, that's really crazy. A lot of people just struggle with that. Who am I? What is my true identity? Life has thrown things at me in such a way that I'm just not sure. Not positive. The second thing that most people are challenged with is importance. Importance. Do I really matter? Does my life really count? Do you realize if the enemy can get you to believe that you really don't matter and you really don't count and you're not really important, that he has the ability to shut you down with that thought? Because all of a sudden, then we walk into a gathering like this. What if God wants to use you? This is what the value of the gathering is. This is why Jesus said, don't forsake the gathering, is because there's opportunity for amazing ministry. And you might be that instrument to pray a prayer of healing over somebody. You might be that person. But if I don't think that I'm important, then what I might do is I might find a small little task to do and keep myself busy doing that and totally not consider that large plan that God has, that he needs me to be a part of. You do matter to God. Your place is important, and we will see that when we look at 1 Corinthians 12 on another Sunday. The third thing is that people are concerned with and search for is impact. Impact. What is my place in life? What is my place in life? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever just kind of been in a big crowd of people and maybe just things are quieting down or calming down, or maybe you're just meditating and even maybe by yourself and you start thinking, what is my place in life? Well, a lot of people wrestle with that and they struggle with that. Am I important? Am I needed? Am I wanted? Who am I? Well, all these questions race through our minds and keep us distracted and keep us bound up even at times. And some people will spend their entire life just trying to find their identity. People will spend their entire life trying to find their importance. People will spend their entire life trying to find their impact. My thesis for us today is exactly what Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added to you. But we have to get the focus of the master plan in my mind. I have to begin to think bigger than myself, bigger than what I see. He said his plan is somewhat invisible, not necessarily visible. And I have to begin to let my spirit begin to see that and begin to tap into it so that even as I move forward, I won't spend all of my energy in the wrong direction. You know, there was a rich ruler in the Gospels who Jesus approached one day, and he had spent all of his time trying to prophesy over people, trying to teach Bible studies and do this good work and that good work. He spent his entire life doing that, and he finally comes face to face with Jesus, and he starts bragging about it, actually. He's just like, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And Jesus just said, but you never knew me. You never stopped to get to know me, or I could have shown you the larger picture, and I could have shown you your part in that. I could have made you who you needed to be. And sometimes people race their entire life, even in church, just trying to do this thing and to do that thing. And my desire and my hope is that over these next few weeks that we would all tap deeper into what this larger purpose of God is, because that's what we all need to be connected with, so that we're not just looking at little O, me, my, and I, or even little O, hope alive, but we're literally seeing beyond that, and we're beginning to see God's plan and God's purpose. I thought, and I was talking the other day about this with someone, I thought, why am I motivated to serve the Lord? It isn't by everything that I see around me. It isn't any of those things. It's really because I've tried my best to tap into what God's doing and what is that master plan of his. What's he really doing? And I try to engage myself into him and into that. And I say, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And that's the thing that keeps me motivated, because it's not about me. As I read the Bible stories, I think there's a few people that we read about that would probably have felt pretty discouraged through their lives, only to have not seen what Job saw. Think about Job. Isn't that an amazing story? Went through his entire life. He went through stuff that all of us good charismatics would say would be wrong. He should have been healed. He should have been touched. But he wasn't. But yet when it all ended up, he was rewarded double at the end of his life. He has a book written for us to read from and to draw from and to learn from, even from thousands of years ago. We still read about him. We still hear about him. He still made a dent on this earth. Everybody knew about Job in that day. I just want to tell you that. And he made his life count. Why? Because it wasn't about him. And he took it even further, didn't he? It wasn't about his family. It wasn't about any of these things. When it all settled for Job, even his wife, remember, just curse God and die. It's like, wow, I'm glad my wife supports me a lot more than that. She tells me to get going or he'll curse me. No. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, what if Job would have operated about, it's all about me? He would have completely given up. He would have lost the motivation to do what God needed him to do. See, it's not Once you're born again, everybody probably in this room is born again. Once you're born again, he says, it's not your life anymore. I purchased you, and I paid a lot for you. Don't let me down. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, and Jeremiah is really another good example of this. If you read the book of Jeremiah and you read his story, he was told to go prophesy over Judah, one of God's tribes, go prophesy over Judah and try to pull them out of where they were at. But he said, listen, they're just not going to listen. So he goes through all this whole life prophesying to a people that God had pre-told him they weren't going to listen, and they didn't, and they had to go into captivity to get out of where they were at. But he prophesied over, spent his whole life doing that. And then you read in the book of Lamentations a little bit more of his heart. But look at what he says in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you, and they are plans for good and not disaster, and to give you a future and a hope. You know, that to me is an amazing promise. If I will walk with my God, the path and the plan that he has for me is going to end up with a good hope and a good future. And I think, wow, that's amazing. But it might not be what I think it's supposed to look like. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it just doesn't. That's why we have to step back and say, okay, God, I know you have this large plan. Help me to see it. Help me to see it clearer, because I want to run the race the whole way. I don't want to stop halfway through with discouragement because the devil lied to me and said that you weren't working. But I want to know what you're doing, and he helps us to see that, and I want to be dead involved in it. I want to be smack in the middle of it. I have sold out to Christ and his plan and purpose. Sold out to that. So I want to know it, and he will help us to do that. That's why, you know, I wrote this down. Instead of following the culture and finding my personal plan in life, what if I focused on his providential plan first? See, we're back to that same thing. Everything in the world, there's self-help books. You can't buy enough of those. You can't find enough. They're just everywhere. Self, self, self. How do I get better? How do I get better? How do I get better? I'm telling you this morning, how you're going to get better is to focus on your God's plan and let him show that to you, and then he will open up and make clear your peace in that plan. But I can't find that peace if I don't see it. And if I don't believe that that's overarching in everything that I do, if I don't believe that that's more important than anything else, then I will not see that, and I will go back to searching for my identity and my importance and my impact and be frustrated maybe most of my life, only to get to the end of my life to find out, wow, I really missed the mark. God doesn't want you to miss the mark. He wants you to understand that he does have this providential plan in mind, and we can go deeply into the whole concept of the providence of God. But it simply means he's completely 100% in control. He's not caught off guard by anything that's happening. He's actually working in those and through those. And the whole idea of the Apostle Paul, one time when he was in prison, he says, listen, I don't want you guys to feel bad for me. I just want you to know this is a part of the fulfilling of the preaching of the gospel. And Paul potentially was such a busy person doing so many things, because he did have a lot of talents and giftings, that he would have never written 3/4 of the New Testament if he would have kept on the streets. But God puts him into jail, and what does he do when he's in there? He writes most of the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? What if he would have got discouraged and said, man, what am I doing here? What if Joseph would have got discouraged halfway through being thrown in prison in the course of the journey? And Joseph ends up saving all of Israel. Joseph's no different than you. Daniel's no different than you. Abraham's no different than who you are. And yet we will miss it if we don't begin to say, God, show me this big picture of what you're doing. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to walk blindfolded. I want to know what you're doing. I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, you're going to rejoice when you see what he has done. It's going to be a glorious day, but we have an opportunity to be a part of that. But if I'm not seeing that, if I think it's, I just go to church, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what Christians do that. They just go to church. Oh, no, 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 no. Church is the least of it. Can I say that again? Church is the least of it. The most of it is right out those doors. Now, we feel and believe that Jesus said gather together like this because he does some amazing things, but he really wants us out there. He really wants us making a difference. He wants us to see things the way that they are and be a part of it and hear from him. And I think that's very, very exciting. Amen? All right, so let me just give you a thought here. Matthew 26, verse 39. And going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Do you know who I'm talking about? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So Jesus himself walked through this whole thing and gave us that principle of, yet not my will. It's just let your, you know, and I like his honesty. God, if we can skip this one, if you can just rearrange that blueprint that you've already put together before I was born, let's do it. I'm with you. I'm game. I'm on. But if you can, it doesn't really matter. It's your will. I want your will to be done because his will affects people around the globe. And so we begin to see that Jesus had the same mindset, same understanding of, God, your will. Your will. What are you doing? What do you want done? Help me to see it. And I have come to find out is that when I begin to feel bad about this, that, and the other, and complain a little bit here and there, and feel myself grumbling and murmuring and griping about life and maybe a loss of joy, I begin to say, wait a minute. Paul said, set your affections where? On the things above. Look up. Get the telescope out. Begin to ask God what's going on around you. You know, he talks to you more than you think if you're asking him honestly about life and about why things are like they are. You know, we might not always like the answer, but I guess what? He's always honest with us. He's always open with us because he cares about us. You're a part of his plan. You're a part of that big master plan. But we have to be in tune with it, and we have to guard ourselves from getting caught up. Let me just give you just two quick points here this morning to close on, and then we are going to look more about, you know, the gifts and ministries and the members of the body and how we fit and what we're, you know, what is this all about type of a thing as we move forward. We're going to look at those things. But I really felt so strongly, Lord, help us to see the master plan. Help me to look way up here so that I can see what's going on. It's an overused illustration, but, you know, if you buy a 1,000-piece puzzle, what's on the front of the box? Isn't it a picture of what you're about to put together? Why? So all the pieces will fit. It'll help you put those pieces together. And it's the same thing with God. If I don't look and ask him to help me see his master plan, I will easily deteriorate into it being about me, my I will. And Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm after. I need servants. I need sons and daughters who are servants, who are willing to give it all up and say, God, whatever your will is. I just think that's exciting. I get excited about that. Can you get excited about that? I mean, isn't it awesome to realize that you're in a safety zone with God? We're not in the Chiefs game. We're not in the game that's going to lose. You're in the game that's going to win. So you can be confident in that so you can step back and relax and say, okay, God, I know we're going through a little bit of a rough season, but guess what? I know in my knower when it's said and done, we do win in the end. And if I'm committed, my life is committed to his master plan. If I'm committed to him and his master plan, I will be a part of that happening. And again, maybe I will have to sit in prison for a number of years. Maybe I will have to have a few boils. Maybe I will. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, it's all peaches and cream once you just commit to this thing. Because is that what it really is all about? No, we're all about the fact that there's a devil who wants to steal, kill, and destroy people's lives. And he's come to give you life. He gave you life so that you could speak it to them. And that comes in different forms and in different fashions. But I'm telling you, you will never, just like fasting, you'll never regret capturing the big heart of God and tying yourself to that and saying, God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. We have set it in stone. It's in concrete. It's unmovable. And we're going to follow this thing. And I tell you what, when you get to the end of the story, just like Job, just like Abraham, just like Isaac, just like every other person in the scripture that we read about and think, oh, wow, they were so amazing. Guess what? You'll be in that book. You'll be in that book too. And I think that's, to me, that's an awesome thing. It's a heritage of the Lord. I'm gonna stop there. I feel the need to stop there. I'll pick up the rest of this. It's a series, so we don't know how many weeks it's going to be, right? So would you stand to your feet with me? It's a little bit late to say that it's warm in here, but are you guys warm? Yeah, last week it was a little bit warm too. Sometimes when the weather shifts, the quote-unquote thermostats don't quite work like they need to, but we'll work on that for next week. I'm sorry for that. But let's take a moment and let's ask the Holy Spirit right now to help us to begin to see the master plan of God. Master plan of God. I want him to telescope me out so that I won't be looking at life with a magnifying glass, which always magnifies little things to be big. But I literally have this fresh, burning passion. I mean, I wake up sometimes. I happen to be a morning person. I wake up early sometimes, and I just sit back, and I think, wow, God, you are so amazing. You have been so faithful through the years, the thousands of years, really, when you read these stories of the Bible characters. He's been so faithful about it all. And he's been patient. He's been enduring with it all. He's been patient with you. He's been enduring with you. How many can say amen? He's been patient with you. He's been enduring with you. Why? So that people might be saved. So people might be saved. And that's his large plan. He said, the glory of the Lord is going to do what? It's going to fill the earth. And just as the waters cover the sea. So let's just pray for a second here. And as you're praying, as I'm praying for you, I want you just to receive and just say, Lord, maybe over this next week, between now and next week, begin to reveal to me a clearer picture of your master plan that you have, because you have it. You even put my name in your master plan. You said before I was born, you put my name there. Before I was born, you gave me a life to live. Before I was born, you had something in mind for me that was great. You had greatness in mind with me. That's why we will move to masterpiece. You're a masterpiece of God. You're not just a piece of meat. You're a masterpiece of God. And so, Father, even this morning, I pray right now, God, for those that might be struggling, Lord, with identity, those that are struggling with importance, maybe those struggling with impact, whichever it might be, God, today we want to just submit ourselves to you completely and fully. We want to have your Holy Spirit come inside of each one of us and begin to telescope our perspective and our view of your amazing master plan, Father, that you have put together to redeem a people, a world that are even kicking against you, but you haven't given up on redeeming us, God. Desire to fill this entire earth with your glory. You're not going to give it up. You're not throwing in the towel. You've already got it written that you were going to come back and you were going to fill the earth with your glory, God. And we ask today, I ask today, God, that there would just be a flood of your understanding, your mind, your heart in every one of us, God. As we start this year off, we would start off realizing that this is another year to serve the Almighty God, the Almighty master plan of the living God. Lord, that we would be a part of it. We commit our heart to it. We commit our life to it, God. We seek you first above all things. God, I thank you for that. And I just pray, Lord, as we move forward, there be blessing and favor and goodness over your people. Not only here, but across this city, across our nation, around this world, God. Let a fresh arising happen as you begin to wrap things up, God. We want to be vitally involved in that. And I bless you, Father God, for allowing us to be there. Even as much as we mess up, you still never give up. And I thank you for that. Just bless, Lord God, our understanding over this next week.